Several years ago, our son, when he was 5 or 6 years old, went through a Lego phase. Those of you who have kids have probably walked through that with them as well. Maybe you're an adult and you're still in a Lego phase. I still love Legos, but one day he had a friend over and they were playing at the house with their Legos, and I happened to walk by his room and I snapped a picture of what the room looked like while they were playing. The Legos were everywhere. I don't know how well you can see it from where you are, but there's a plastic tub. This thing was filled to the brim with Legos. And instead of just sifting through the tub to find what he needed to build whatever they were going to build, he just liked to dump the whole thing out all over the floor, and then he would sift through it while they were playing. And so I took that picture, but as I look at that picture, in hindsight, I think, man, if you were going to try to walk through that room to get to the other side, maybe you want one of the army men on the other side of the room or something, how would you have to walk through that room? Very carefully, right? Because you know if you step on a Lego, it's going to hurt. And in fact, the whole time that he was in this Lego phase, there were always Legos on the floor, all over the place, in every room, no matter how much we tried to clean them up. And so every so often, you might be walking through a room, especially in the dark, and suddenly you would hit a Lego right on your foot, and pain would shoot all the way up to the crown of your head. A friend of mine sent me this picture, some Legos strategizing how best to hurt your foot. Right? Everybody's had that experience. And so if you're going to walk through that room, you got to recognize it is a potential minefield of pain and heartache. You might step on something or run into something or land on something that you didn't intend to step on, that you didn't intend to encounter, and it might cause you pain. In a similar way, the world that we live in right now is a minefield of pain, of heartache, and of darkness. Doesn't take a whole lot of proof for me to convince you that we live in dark times. All you have to do is open up the news on any given day, and you can see we live in dark and evil days. Just in the last couple of weeks, we've seen all of the tragedy and chaos and violence unfolding in Afghanistan. We've seen wildfires, a continued pandemic. We see a hurricane bearing down on Louisiana as we speak. Not to mention all of the normal arguing and political debate and anger and people taking sides across the aisle that goes on every single day. We live in dark times, and it's not just the news. It's also that if you look at the statistics for where our country is headed, both morally and spiritually, what we see is that there is a traceable decline in those people who say, I want to build my life around the values of God's word. There's a decrease in those people who say, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I ran across some statistics just this week that said if you go back to 1986, you're going to find in 1986, roughly 10% of those who were 18 to 29, roughly 10% of those folks said, I'm not affiliated with any religious belief. They're what are called the spiritual nuns. Maybe they're an atheist, maybe they're an agnostic, maybe they just don't think about it, but they were not affiliated with any religious system. 10% in 1986. Today, if you go to that same age group, that number has grown to 36% of those who say, I have no religious affiliation, no real belief, I'm not connected to God or to the scriptures or to Jesus in any way. And those numbers are not just true for young people. Actually, that growth rate is true across all generations, from young to old, that overall there is a decline in our nation of those who would say, I believe in Jesus. And so for those of us who say, I want to know Jesus, I believe in Jesus, I want to build my life around the values of God's word, we are going to increasingly find ourselves at odds with the world around us. And there are a few ways we can react to that. One way is with fear and withdrawal. We just say, my primary goal in life is just to protect myself, protect my family from the world outside my door. Another way to respond is with anger and fighting. You say, I'm going to go on Facebook and fix this. And so we walk around in a constant state of tension, ready to fight, ready to correct everybody who disagrees, ready to make them see things the way we see things. Fear or anger. But as we look at the scripture, neither of those approaches to living in dark days is what the scripture tells us to do. We're going to look at a passage this morning that's going to help us chart a third pathway, a better pathway. How do we live well in the middle of dark days? How do we live well in the middle of dark days? And what we're going to see in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 21 this morning, we're going to see that the Apostle Paul urges us, if you're living in dark days, what you need to do actually is pay really close attention to how you walk, to your walk with the Lord. That the best thing that you can do, if you want to be a light in the darkness, the best thing that you can do is focus really intently on walking with Jesus, on walking with Jesus, to know his word, to learn how to pray, to love his people, so that we can go out then into the world and shine a light in the darkness, to say, Jesus has shown me the path to life and to hope. Let me illuminate it for you. Let me ask you a question. Because the reality is you're probably as aware as I am of the darkness of the times in which we live. So let me ask you this question. Do you find that day over day, week over week, year after year, you're becoming more like Jesus or more bitter, tense, angry, fearful, or maybe even more in love with the world and its value? Which direction is your life going? What separates those who find themselves caught in a spiral of despair and bitterness and sin? What separates them from those who increasingly reflect the fruit of the Spirit, the love of Christ, the joy of our Savior, the peace that only Jesus can give? What Paul's going to say is it's ultimately how you walk. Day by day, week by week, year by year. If you've got your Bible, that's what we're going to see in Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. I'm going to start in verse 15. Here's the question we're going to ask this morning. How do we live well during evil days? How can we live well during evil days? I'm going to start in verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. One thing I want to point out here right at the beginning, we're not the first Christians to live in evil days. It may feel that way. All of this feels very unprecedented, unsettling to us. We are not the first Christians to live in evil days. In fact, from the very beginning, Christians have had to reckon with the reality that the world around us is dark. And how do we live well? And here's what Paul tells us right from the outset. You want to live well in evil days. He says, first of all, make the most of your time. Make the most of your time because the days are evil. He says, look, I want you to be really careful how you walk. Don't be unwise, be wise. We'll talk about that in a minute. But he says, I want you to make the most of your time because the days are evil. Here's what he's getting at. Evil times demand of us a particular type of focus with our time. Because when we're living in evil days, there are 1,000 ways on a day-to-day basis that we can either misuse our time, we can use it for evil and sinful purposes, or we can waste our time. We can throw it away and just fritter it away. And so Paul says, here's what I want you to do. First of all, I want you to focus. You live in evil times, so make the most of your time. Those of us who live in evil days need to recognize this. that although our lives are short, we have a limited amount of time, our lives count for eternity. That our walk with the Lord, our connection with him, and our light that we shine into the world, those things count for eternity. So Paul says, every moment counts. He says, make the most of every opportunity. Some of your translations read it that way. Or make the most of the time, or literally redeem the time. Redeem the time. In other words, save it or buy it back. Get it back from all of the worthless, wasteful, evil purposes you could use your time for. All of us would acknowledge that even though we live in desperate, evil times, there are 1,000 ways to waste our time, to waste our energy. Every year, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they do an American time use survey, and I love to look at it. Basically, they just measure how people spend their time on a daily basis. And so they'll make these, pie charts and things like that. You spend on average a certain amount of time sleeping, a certain amount of time working, a certain amount of time just hanging around in leisure activities, a certain amount of time eating, and they'll break it up by age group and all of that. But they have these general averages. The one from 2020 found that on average, most Americans spend about 4 to 5 hours a day in leisure activities. Now, that might be watching TV, that might be on your phone, that might be playing sports, that might be just sitting around, whatever it is, 4 to 5 hours in leisure activities. Other studies recently have found that about 2.5 hours of that on average is on social media. 2.5 hours. So you're talking Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, if you're younger, TikTok, right? Snapchat, whatever it may be. And I read that and I thought, man, okay, we're spending a lot of time invested in scrolling through a screen. I'm guilty, and maybe you are too. And there's not necessarily anything inherently evil about all social media and all internet. But I think as we read this passage, the question becomes, am I making the most of my time? Because what happens? And we'll talk about this in a moment, but when I fill my mind and my heart with everything that is out there on a constant basis, and that's just what's scrolling through my head, that darkness begins to infect my mind and my heart, and I fritter the time away. And so Paul says, I want you to make the most of it. Make the most of your time, because evil days require a special kind of focus. A special kind of focus. You know, it's interesting. Most of us get pretty stressed out if we think money is being wasted. So like if we had the offering moment this morning and then after it was over, I came up here and I piled all the money up and I said, we're going to have a special moment where I burn it all. That would stress you out. You would go, no, wait, we gave that to be used for a purpose. Why would you burn it? Why would you destroy it? Why would you waste it? Or if you found out this week that I was using the church missions budget to buy gourmet food for my labradoodle, you'd be concerned, right? You'd go, that's misappropriation of funds. You are misusing the money. You know, it's interesting. We really can get stressed about that, misusing money. But I'm amazed in my own life, and maybe in yours too, that we get much less stressed about misappropriating or misusing time, which in fact is a much more limited resource than money. You can always make more money. And if you can't, the government can print it, right? You can never make another second of time. You can't extend your day to 25 hours. You can't extend your life by a year or a month or even a day. Not really. I mean, you can eat a lot of asparagus, that's fine. But you can't control the outcome of your life. And Paul says, given that reality, that life is short and eternity is forever, he says, what I want you to do in the midst of evil days, because the days are evil, I want you to make the most of the one life on this earth that you've been given. I want you to walk carefully, to use your time and your energy to know God, to use your time and your energy to shine light into the relationships and the communities where you live. Make the most of your time because the days are evil. And I want to be clear, rest is not wrong. God rested on the seventh day. Leisure is not wrong. But it is very easy for us to develop a mindset, if we're not careful, that simply says, all I want to do is be comfortable and safe and either not think about the darkness around me at all or try to control it by going online and trying to fix it. Or I get into a mindset where I just don't think about my time. Paul says, evil days require a special focus. Make the most of your time. And here's how. Here's what you're going to do to make the most of your time. He goes on. He says, I want you to seek the will of God. If you're going to make the most of your time on this earth, seek the will of God. Verse 17, he says, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? That you increasingly understand what he wants from you, what he wants you to know about his word, how he wants you to live. You come to a deeper and deeper understanding of who he is and what he's done for you in Jesus Christ. That you invest your time and your energy reading and studying the word of God to fill your mind and your heart with the reality that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead so we have eternal life, and now we carry the light of eternal life into the world. We seek the will of God. In Colossians, Paul describes the will of God like this. Colossians chapter 1, he says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So he says, I want you to know the will of God. And then he says, why? So that you'll do what? You'll walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He says, I want you to know the will of God so you walk the will of God. I want you to spend your time and your energy seeking to understand, not just with your mind, but with your heart, what is the will of God so that you can please him and obey him and shine a light into the darkness. So he says, look, don't be foolish. Don't get all caught up in the foolishness of the world. When you and I are stressed, we tend to get angry and we try to control, as I mentioned before, we tend to get fearful and we try to withdraw from the world around us. And so we get all caught up in all kinds of foolish ways to try to solve our problems and the problems of the world because we're afraid, because we are struggling to trust God, that God is good, that God is in control of history. And so we try to exert our will on other people or on our own lives instead of seeking God's will. And that can lead us to foolishness, to silliness, to typing things on Facebook that we look back later and go, I did not mean that. I was reminded this week of when I was in seminary and my wife and I were a young married couple, and one of the things I remember about that season of life was that I was often stressed and fearful, and it was because we had very little money. There was usually more month than there was money, and so sometimes we would get toward the end of the month, and there was nothing left for groceries or whatever it may be. We wondered how we were going to pay the bills, and so I was stressed out about this, and I prayed about it, but God didn't immediately fill my bank account. I don't know if you've had that experience. But somebody, and I'm a little embarrassed to share this story, but somebody told me about this website, and this was in the early days of the internet, and so you couldn't, you know, there were no phones or whatever. So I would go down to the computer lab at the seminary, and, you know, they had this computer lab where you could connect to the internet, and somebody told me about this website. It was called iwon.com. And what you could do is you would spin a little wheel, you know, and once a day, somebody who spun that little wheel would win $10,000. So I would sit there and I spun that little wheel, you know, and I would watch it go around and go, come on, come on, come on, come on. It never landed on the $10,000. I did win a 2-year subscription to Us Weekly that poured me more deeply into foolishness. But one day as I was doing that, I felt the conviction of the Spirit saying, Matt, this is silliness. This is foolishness. This is wasting your time trying to control your life with your own will and what you think you need. Seek the will of God. Trust Him. I think all too often we do the same thing when we're faced with stressful circumstances outside of our control. And that's a lot of our lives right now, if we're honest. For some of us, we just can't resist just doom scrolling, right? We just have to absorb all the stress and the anxiety and talk about it all the time. Because maybe in some small way, if we know what's happening, we feel we can control what's happening. But we can't. Or we try to make others see it our way, or we just withdraw altogether. And Paul says, here's what I want you to do and what the Spirit of God is calling you to do. Seek God's will. Before you roll over in the morning and grab your phone, read the Word of God. Invest time in prayer, asking Him to transform your heart to know His will so you can be a light in the darkness. That's how we're called to use our time. Pay careful attention to how you walk. Make the most of your time. Seek the will of God. And then he says, here's how you can seek the will of God more specifically. He says, I want you to be filled with the Spirit of God. The more you're filled with the Spirit of God, the more you're going to understand the will of God and how you ought to live and how you ought to walk. Look at verses 18 to 21. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. He says, if you want to know the will of God, be filled with the Spirit. He says, don't get drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Why should you not get drunk with wine? Now, this is important. He talks about getting drunk with wine, but alcohol isn't really his main point in the passage. Certainly, he gives this command, don't get drunk with wine. Why? That is dissipation. What does that mean? It is a way of frittering away your time and your energy. It's just wasteful. And the reason is because when you're drunk with wine, what happens? Well, the alcohol controls you, right? You drink too much. All of us have either seen or maybe been people who have had too much to drink. What happens to a person who has had too much to drink? The alcohol animates them, controls them. And so you might say, hey, I know that Tom said something rude, inappropriate, unkind, ridiculous. That's not really Tom talking. That's the whiskey, right? Because it is controlling him at that moment. And Paul says, look, don't be filled with alcohol, with the spirits, so to speak, but be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I think he would say, you know, anything that controls you, animates you, and leads you around other than the Spirit of God is something to stay away from. And he makes this contrast. He says, I don't want you to be controlled by a substance. I want you to be controlled by the Spirit. How can we be filled with the Spirit? I believe he would say it's a day by day, moment by moment process of absorbing the Word of God, communicating with Him through His Word, through prayer, and engaging with the people of God, with the community of faith who can speak truth into our lives and help us walk by the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit rather than with alcohol. Anything that controls us other than the Spirit of God is something we need to pull away from. Maybe in your life it is a substance issue. Alcohol or a drug or something along those lines. But maybe in your life it is greed for money, or it is lust, or it is food, or it is some other struggle or challenge that causes you to be controlled by that thing rather than by the Spirit. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it is that every day you wake up and you read the news or you look at Facebook and you're just filled with fear, and that controls every decision that you make. Maybe it's a need for approval. You just really need people to like you a lot, and that animates you and it leads you around, and every decision you make is controlled by that. And so rather than being filled with the Spirit, rather than saying at the beginning of the day, in the middle of the day, at the end of the day, I'm going to fill my mind and heart with the truth of God's word. I'm going to take it in, read it, memorize it, meditate upon it, pray for God's will to be clear in my life. Instead of doing that, I'm going to fill my mind and my heart with this other thing that numbs me, makes me feel temporarily happy, makes me feel like I have a little bit of control. And Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. Let me illustrate it this way. I mentioned a few minutes ago, we have a dog, a labradoodle named Annie. And anybody who has a dog, you know that dogs are basically ruled by their appetites, their desires. So she's ruled by her need for food, mostly our food. So she tries to eat our food. She likes to run through the neighborhood if she gets a chance. And so if the door is left open too long, she'll take off. She's ruled by that need to roam, to have freedom, or to interact with other people. And so she'll jump up and lick people who come over. And so it can be stressful if you're trying to take her for a walk or if someone's over. You cannot control this dog because the dog is controlled by her appetites. But a few years ago, my wife purchased a great product. I'm going to sound like an advertisement for a moment, but it's this little product. It's called a gentle leader. And you basically, when you're walking, you put it on the dog's nose, and it doesn't squeeze them or hurt them or anything like that, but it just applies a little bit of pressure on the bridge of the nose so that if that dog tries to run off or tries to lunge, it puts enough pressure that they go, I don't want that to happen. So now what's happened is the dog, instead of being controlled by her desires, by her appetites, who controls the dog? Well, her master. She's gone from one sphere of control to another sphere of control. The reality is, and this is what Paul says, you are controlled by something. You are filled with something. And he says, choose on a day-to-day basis to be filled. This is a command. Be filled by the Spirit. What are you going to fill your mind with? What are you going to fill your heart with? What are you going to spend your time doing and investing in? It says, be filled with the Spirit. And then he says, here's what's going to happen. As you invest in knowing the Word of God, as you invest in knowing God through prayer, he says, what's going to happen is you're going to become the kind of person who sings. That may sound strange to you. You're like, I've never been that kind of person. You don't want to hear me sing. Right? But you're going to become the kind of person that you say, I want to sing praises to God. I want to sing praises to God with other people. I want to sing praises to God in my heart. Because I wake up in the morning and I go to bed at night reflecting on who he is and on his goodness and on his truthfulness rather than filling my mind with the darkness of the world and spiraling into this cycle of fear and anger and loss of control. Instead, I fill my heart with the Spirit and I sing praises. And I become the kind of person who gives thanks in everything. He says, you're going to give thanks in all circumstances. I become a person of gratitude, a person who says, thank you, God, that you've given me life. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. Thank you that I'm here on this earth with an opportunity to shine a light in the darkness. I think everybody in this room, you would say, I want to be a thankful person. I want to be a grateful person. I want to be a person that others would say, that is a person who gives thanks to God in all circumstances, even when the world seems dark. If you are a person that you say, I would rather be a grumpy, fussy person. This passage isn't for you. But I don't think there's anybody in the room that would describe themselves that way. I want to be grateful, and I'm not always grateful. You want to be grateful, you probably struggle with it too. Paul says, here's the key. It's simple to say, but it's not so easy to do. Be filled with the Spirit. what you fill your mind and your heart with is what's going to come out. You want to be a person of gratitude and joy. You fill your mind and your heart with the things of God's word on a day-to-day basis and with the values of his kingdom. And you ask him to transform you. He says, that's going to cause you to be a person who gives thanks in the name of Jesus to God, even the Father. And then he says, and you're going to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. He says, this is going to affect your heart, your attitude, your mind. It's also going to affect your relationships, which is why he goes on here to talk about marriage and parenting and working. And he says, every sphere of your life is going to change because now you're going to walk into the room filled with the light of Jesus Christ. You're going to walk into your workplace where men and women are filling their minds and hearts with darkness, and you're going to carry a flashlight to say, you know what? I'm a human being like you, living in the same dark world, but the light of Jesus walks with me, and we can illuminate a pathway through the darkness. Because what God wants to do is he wants to rescue people from the kingdom of darkness and transfer them to the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his beloved son. And he says, I want to use you. I want to use you to do that. You want to be a light in the darkness. Paul says, be careful how you walk. Watch how you walk. That the best thing you can do to walk well in evil, to live well in evil days is to walk with Jesus. To know him, to fill your heart with him. And so let's come back to where we started. When you think about your life, do you find yourself turning more and more inward, more and more angry, more and more bitter? Or are you increasingly filled with the fruit of the Spirit? How do you walk? And here's the challenge I want to offer to us this morning. And this is not a legalistic challenge, as if reading the Bible a certain number of days is going to make God like you more. Right? Because if you know Jesus, Jesus died for you, Jesus rose again, God loves you already. Nothing you can do to get out from under his love for you. He loves you unconditionally and forever. But if you want to be the kind of light in the darkness that he's calling us to be, we have to invest the time to make the most of our time to pay attention to how we walk. So I want to challenge us to do this. Simply say, I'm going to invest 30 minutes a day to knowing Jesus better. You may say, where do I have 30 minutes? I'll tell you guys, my little screen time report came up this morning on my phone just before I walked up here. I've got an extra 30 minutes. At least. Maybe you do too. I guarantee somewhere you do. You may say, I don't know where to start. I don't know how to read the Bible. I've tried and I fizzled out in Leviticus, whatever it may be. We can help you. We have resources on our website. If you want to stop by one of the tables after the service, we'd love to connect you with a group where there are other men and women who can help you know how to study the word, how to read it, how to pray, how to engage with the body of Christ. We're here to help you. That's what we do. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. We want to help you follow Jesus. But what we can't do is invest the time for you, the daily disciplined work of saying, I want to know Jesus. There will be every temptation in the world to fritter away our time. But will we say, hey, before I pick up the phone, before I do anything else today, I want to invest this time to know Jesus because I want to walk carefully and be a light in the darkness to live well in evil days. Would you pray with me? Father, we're thankful for your word. We are thankful above all for our Savior Jesus. We want to live well. We want to obey you. And we need your Spirit. So, Father, we pray that you would guide us and fill us with your Spirit. Make us wise and not foolish. protect us and preserve us from frittering away our time on controversies and arguments and foolishness and things that in the grand scheme of eternity will not last. But let us pay close attention to how we walk. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for our Savior. And we thank you for this community. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.